Welcome to the TechNori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Today's show is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. See why 65,000 businesses use ActiveCampaign for their marketing by signing up at ActiveCampaign.com/TechNori. Get your first 2 months for free. Today's guest, Matt Xavier, Senior Associate at Unispace. I just want to get it out in front. If you like this episode, I think it's a logical step to go to Spotify and follow the TechNori Podcast and listen to the Knotel founder, Amal Sarva. Knotel. It's in there, like, these two people probably know each other, I guess is the point I'm trying to make. Business is changing. The way that people work is changing. Where people work is changing. How people work is changing. When and why people work is changing. Matt talks a lot about the when and how they work in this conversation. I think the big takeaway for me is it's not a secret that people got really into the open workspace and then kind of really out of it. And the truth is that there's a hybrid. And a lot of times, those of us who think we know what we want usually don't make... There's a reason that, like, my mom used to pick out my clothing and my wife now okays my clothing. What I think looks good and what actually looks good are usually not the same thing. And for CEOs who are building out their space and procurement officers who are finding new space and building out space for teams, they think this is a cool space because of the view and the size and the shape, but if the team doesn't like to work there or the users or customers don't like to come there, well, then it's not a good space. So you use companies like Unispace, which is who we have on the show today, to talk a little bit about what I need to do. And the reason we're doing this is pretty obvious. We're moving into a new space. 71 South Wacker is where we're moving. I don't know. You can update that on your website or your email when you send us gifts, I guess, or not. I don't know. But the point is, I want a space that looks fun, but I want it to be fun for others, not just for me. And so I spent the last, 20 or so minutes talking to Matt exactly about how can we build this space out, not because of how I want it, but because of how the people I work with and people who work with me want it. And it turns out there's a handful of questions that I should ask myself. And oh, by the way, I should involve those people, not just myself. For all of that and a whole lot more about how to build out your space, this is my interview with Matt Xavier, the senior associate at Unispace. We've got a new space, 71 South Wacker. It is a spec space. So, yep. Like, they already built it out.
Right.
They already have all the super cool glass, and it looks all Facebooky.
Mm-hmm.
Like the desks that are on the. I mean, I love it. It's awesome. Right. Like, all the desk risers and stuff. But it's super. There's no culture. There's like nothing to it. And I know that you can add, your own flavor. And unfortunately, sometimes when your owners and your bosses and your partners don't have any flavor,
right,
that becomes the flavor of the space. And it's like, I get it. The clean lines and everything looks good. It looks professional. But I feel like one of the things that a lot of companies, and we're unique in that we talk to a lot of founders and we're sort of very consumer facing, even though it's a B2B. I feel like most bosses and CEOs, and of course this is very age, I don't mean to be ageist.
Sure.
But as it shies older, I find a lot of people don't invest in making the space look like how you want your customers to feel.
Right.
And it's like a very key differentiator there as you talk to people. Like, it's one thing to like have the culture that's fun for your people to work, but if you have customers in your office, it's as much about them as it is about you.
Absolutely.
And so there's companies like, obviously, Unispace that do this like soup to nuts, right? That build the whole thing out.
That's right.
And I wonder what is the one thing that you feel like most, it's not always the CEO who's doing this. It's, whoever's in charge of procuring the space, procurement officer, whoever. Mm-hmm. What is the thing that they are missing in their thought process? Like, they all come up with a checklist.
Sure.
And I feel like artwork is one, one that's missing. It's like, oh, we got pictures of billions we'll put up there. Like, maybe not. Depends on your business.
Yeah, yeah. So just a little context for me. You guys in a space right now where you're subletting or you're...
Yeah, so we're at 300 North LaSalle. It's a gorgeous building. We sublet from GTCR, so there's that hedge fund feel of hominess.
Right.
And it's like... In the beginning, you look at it like, oh my God, people are going to get obsessed when they walk and they see the comments from 55 floors up staring at like the world of Chicago. But then after like a short amount of time, you're like, man, we don't have a sink. Like even the paint doesn't look friendly.
Right.
It's just, so the hope is like when we move over to this other one, it's like, what are some of the things that we can do to make it look better without having to convince the entire company that we need to have like a whole, makeover?
Sure. I think the biggest thing that we strive for at Unispace is to understand from our clients, those kinds of objectives, what are you looking, what is, where are you in terms of your business, in terms of what is this next step for you? Because you can almost think about it as sort of, it's sort of like the actual growth or the evolution of your own business in terms of how you want to be, right? So it's kind of like, it's growing up, right?
Yeah.
If you think about it in terms of personal perspective, and when you grow up, you start to form your own ideas, you start to speak in a slightly different manner, you start learning how to like create your own voice, right? And a lot of things, I think what a lot of companies do is they are really good at sort of projecting and putting out that voice. And a lot of that is really important to make sure that that voice or that culture is really like really intrinsic into the space, right? One of the things we usually spend a lot of time talking with clients with is that try to think about this as not necessarily just another line item in your budget,
yeah,
in terms of how you're thinking about it. I mean, of course, you have to pay people and you want to attract the right kind of talent. You want to bring the right kind of people in there. But are there easy ways that you can leverage the space to be that consistent voice for you so that you don't have to be around always talking about how great the organization is and the company is, right?
Yeah.
So how do you do that tactfully in a couple of different ways? How do you do that for your colleagues? How do you do that for your customers? Like, what are the ways that you can do it for your customers in order to make that happen? We spend a lot of time really diving into the customer experience in the beginning when we work with clients to really map that out. And what we do is people can truly understand what it's like today because that's the thing they really understand, right? And when they think about it pragmatically and sort of take a step back from the things they do every day, they can really map that through and map that out. And then out of there comes out almost like the right ideas of what you should do. And all those things don't necessarily have to break the bank.
Yeah.
Right? So, and it really is kind of sort of a bespoke engagement with that client, understanding what has the experience been like when you bring a client here? How do they feel? What have been some of the things they've told you? What's the main takeaway you want for them to have when they leave this space? And a lot of those things are cultural, their voice, their vibe. You want them to leave with a good feeling, or you want them to leave with a feeling that, you know, they've just had a really great educated conversation. Whatever that might be, right? It's different for all companies.
It's funny. It reminds me of website design.
Right.
Like, it's like, this is your blueprint for real life. And,
yeah.
And like, it's just funny to me. Like, companies take for granted the website stuff. That's branding's a whole other conversation.
Right.
But like, I feel like when I talk to a lot of individual CEOs and founders and guys who run companies and girls who run companies, there's a disconnect on, we took the time to build a website and our consumers and people, you know, want to feel that we're cool and we're smart and blah, blah, blah. But you don't do that in your own office. And part of it is, you brought up like the bottom line, but a bigger part of it sometimes is like just being a little detached.
Right.
And it's like in web design, the term selfish design comes up frequently with people who are like me, and they don't go into like you.
Sure.
And there's also like knowing who you are. You brought this up in your piece or actually like quite well, where like if I were to look at when you like a true startup, it reminds me of being in college.
Right.
And then when you get your first out of co-working small office, it's like, all right, you're in grad school. Still, like, probably a bottle of booze on the wall somewhere, but the rest of the office looks like it's working. Then you buy your first home. This is out of a general building, and now we're into, like, our own floor or our own part of a floor, and you start to have the things that are accommodating the different talent you're going to be bringing in. So if you're hiring, you know, people who are members of families, there might be rooms for mothers. There might be rooms for people to do what they have to do. And then you become sort of an adult and you buy the big house if you're doing well. And a lot of times people forget, like you put it, the personal things that are different, the way you talk, and they get into like either spending a bunch of money on it because they can now, and it looks bad in a sense that like it sort of tells your customer we're kind of spendy,
right?
Which you're undoubtedly going to be paying for somewhere along the line.
Right.
Or if you're a venture-backed startup, it's like, you know, you heard a lot of this about Snapchat in the early days when they, I guess it was just before the IPO, so it wasn't like early days, but you get what I'm saying, where they were throwing these like lavish parties and you're like, that's not really, I know it's good for brand awareness, but it's really, and hiring, but like, it's really not a good look when you're spending venture investment dollars on something that maybe could have a return, but like not, and it's not really an intended return.
Right.
And so how do you guys navigate the education component,
right,
with the people? Because a lot of it's not just like, there's the obvious education, which you've kind of talked about and you could obviously go deeper into, but
right,
there's also just like the, what, you know, pardon all the puns of this, but we have a 7-month-old baby.
Right.
And so I'm just coming off of all the books and things like, you know, what to expect when you're expecting. Right. That's what I think of when I think of the founders. Like, if I could give you a what to expect when you're expecting to move into a new space, right, what would it be?
Right. I have to say, I think most, so I've been at this for 20 years, you know, just for edification. I've been an architect for a while. And I think the thing that comes up most successfully in working with companies that go through some sort of, that go to the next stage of growth and go into a new space, and that becomes their new workplace, and that workplace exemplifies who they are as a business or a company, is that the companies that do a great job at it are the, on the client side, are points of contact in the client who also know to bring in the right people within the organization, right?
Yep.
So a lot of things when we do a project engagement with a client and we know it's going to be a pivotal move for them, we actually recommend to them, it shouldn't only be you at the table with us. It needs to be your person from HR or people and culture.
Yeah.
It needs to be your person from technology. It needs to be somebody from finance or who has the, who hold, not necessarily holds the strings of the money, but can understand the value and all those kinds of things. Bringing all those people to the table are important. And it, because there's a slight, they have slight input into all those things in terms of how your business gets represented. And then you can appeal and talk about why this particular design solution has a return on investment for its people, or obviously for some ROI, for some return for, like, on the money side, right? Also, how can you design a space in a way, because we know technology is ever changing, and it is even more ever changing for all the technology that goes into a physical office design or physical office space. Like, there's always a new monitor that comes out almost every couple of months, right? So how can we sort of think about those in that kind of context and get those points of opinion in, so that we can come up with a design solution that says, here are the return on investments that are more thinking and feeling in addition to logical and analytical, and why they're important.
And then you have to design around that in a functionality space.
Exactly. So that's like almost the first step is, number one, you get those people in place. Number two, you come up with what those ROIs are. Number three, you actually map ROIs to like design solutions, right? It's kind of interesting for us in this space for tech is, and even in other business sectors, if you're finance or professional service, things of that nature, our company does is one of our engagement exercises is what's called a utilization study. And what that is really understanding how people are using space, right? So we go and we do this analysis and walk around effectively in a space every hour on the hour and see who's at their desk, who's in a workspace, things of that nature. And it gives you a sense of how well utilized the space is. And, you know, on average, give or take, what you find is that a lot of companies kind of go to, I have a person, I got to get a desk for them, always.
Yep.
The reality is the way that we work, because we work in such different ways nowadays. Like we can basically turn on and turn off any time that we want throughout the entire day. It's not no longer 9 to 5 like it was 10, 15 years ago.
Particularly in the tech companies, for
exactly,
sure.
Exactly. That there is some credence to understand, okay, there are already those kinds of work habits intrinsic in the way that people are working. So in lieu of thinking about how do I take a bunch of extra space with the hope that I'm going to like grow and I'm going to have the right kind of people, how do you leverage the space in a way to actually encompass all those work habits, right? There are a lot of times I talk to clients who will have conversations with them and say, you can think about it as a 9-to-5 business, but the reality is if you want your people to have all the tools at their disposal and for them to work the best, keep it to 9-to-5, but also think about having a lot of those spaces available for them. So if they want to come and work from 3 to 10, and that's really where they get their best work done, and they have all the accoutrements around them to do that properly, consider that.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, there's always like contrasting arguments back and forth about why businesses feel like that it may be a good idea to explore, or why there might be challenges around it. But it's something that we talk to clients about considering. We don't ever push a client into doing anything, right? But it is becoming more and more of a fact of life in terms of how people are working, right?
It sort of blows my mind a little bit, the disconnectedness sometimes when you talk to, so like we spent a lot of time talking to like the head of hiring,
right?
Head of people, numerous companies here in Chicago. One of the people who stands out as like very exceptional to me is Mike Dwyer, who was at Cars.com, now he's at Cheetah Digital. And, you know, I don't know what the number is that they well, I don't want one of them, but I probably shouldn't say it, that they spend on marketing for hiring. And this is in addition to recruiting and everything else. This is like just flat out making you think that we're cool to work for.
Right.
And in the previous spaces, the amount of money that they didn't spend, and this is according to Mike, saying like when I was at Cars and I was like, they spent a ton of money after the fact on redesigning Cars' office and all this other stuff because they realized that every dollar they were spending on ads and things to like, we're cool, was worthless.
Right.
When they brought the person into the room and they're like, you're not that cool.
Right.
You know, and like there's, I think people misunderstand it. And if you guys have a way of aligning a numerical value to this, by all means, step in with it. I think that a lot of them misrepresent the amount of money that they spend on a space to make a person go, I could imagine myself spending 10 hours a day or whatever it is working at this space. And it's like, you made it really convenient for me. I've got a small kid or I've got a dog, and you make sure that my problems that preclude me from working are taken care of.
Right.
And that's maybe seems like a big expense on the bottom line when you look at it like just randomly.
Right.
But if you put in context what you're spending on the other side of this to try to funnel people in,
right,
it's like really nothing. I mean, you could spend $1 million in digital campaign easily.
Right.
And spend $1 million on a space and like way outkick the coverage on that ad spend.
You know, that's an interesting, it's an interesting, that's an interesting comment because, what I have found in the work that I do is you really have a deep conversation with clients and understand, is it really worthwhile to put that beer tap in? Or is it more important for people to have their dogs in, like
yeah.
you say, right? Like, does something...
Functionality.
Exactly, functionality. And also if you think about just like team culture and team building, right? Like, how many times have you ever gone to a friend's house and you have a dog that's just like happy to see everybody, right?
Yep.
That kind of automatically changes your attitude, right? Like, just almost immediately, right?
It's so... I mean... I've loved this line since I heard it, but it was good business, good design is good business.
Right.
And I think of like other people who like Jimmy DeCastro used to be the head of this station and CBS. And he's got a couple other companies that started Clear Channel as an example, mm-hmm. maybe a bigger one. Culture was always king. He comes in and he kind of resets the tone. Like they're laying off people left and right and everyone's happy.
Right.
Like, how in the hell is that even possible? And it's like, well, because while you're here, you know I care.
Right.
And if I let you go, it's not because I just let you go. It's because I care.
Right.
Like I had to do the right thing. And I remember going into their one of the offices that they had, and I was like, where the hell am I?
Right.
So I walked in. I'm like, I understand the business you're in. Like this doesn't... Okay, I see the area where people are working. I see the studios. I see this. Like that makes sense. But then there's like a... And it's not the bar, like, you know, the beer tap, whatever. It's like literally a lounge.
Sure.
And I'm like, who is this for?
Right.
And he was like, it is intended for our employees. They can use it, of course. And he's the kind of person where you know when you work there, like you're not going to get scolded if you're found in the lounge.
Right.
He was like, but actually it's for our customers and clients who come in here because we know that they're taking time to come meet us and a lot of them are traveling to come here. And I want to make sure that when they come here that I'm not a stop in their flow.
Right.
So I give them a place to grab a coffee and hang out and feel comfortable. If most of them are, like I think the joke he said was, if most of them are used to spending their time in the United like Points Club at O'Hare, they'll fit right in here.
Right.
We have everything they have and more.
Right.
And a better view.
You know, it's interesting. We've done a couple of projects with a couple of tech companies that either sell software of a service around, you know, you name it, they do it, or
yeah.
some sort of like product, whether it's like data governance or data analytics or some sort of physical product, right? And in some of those engagements recently, we've had conversations with those clients when it comes to office design and thinking about how do you zone all those areas properly. But moreover, to your point, we did this for one client up in New York where we did a whole design guideline that they can use to actually roll out other spaces and other locations
yeah.
globally, right? And we said, you know what? If there's a value to people buying your product and they're in the same city as the salesperson they've been in or the customer success person that they've been in, and you have a public area that's adjacent to maybe like a couple of meeting rooms, you can just go onto Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever manner that makes the most sense. Let them know that it's basically like open office hours.
Yeah.
If you want to come by and sit down and just come hang out and you have a question about something that our product is doing for you, We're here.
Yeah, come on in.
Right? And then what's great about that is that that gets customers, because that feels like a really good authentic move. Not for the sake of just being authentic, because you need to hit the authentic score on your net promoter score. But the fact that you want to be authentic like that, to all the points that you're making, right? Like all these things really kind of come down to like authenticity and like how do you feel like you're there, right? And then at the same time, that drives business. At the same time, it also gets your talent really jazzed up because they're seeing the fruits of their effort, like being like actually in front of them with the user using their product and coming in and asking questions like, okay, I've been trying to get this to really filter to this kind of level to tell me this information, but I've been having trouble doing that. Can you help me with that?
Yeah.
You know, it's almost kind of like to use your college analysis, is like open office hours for your professor, right? Or even still, it's, you know, not to sound cliche, sometimes like some people can even call like sort of like the genius bar idea to the next level, right? Bring people to you because they become ambassadors of the brand in that kind of way. They become users of the product, and there's always a lot of this tangential benefit in terms of like giving them a space that they'll want to do that, and then they'll remember those that space and say, hey, when I was in New York and I had this like situation, they had a really great space in there. I wonder if they'd be willing to collaborate with me in order to go after some other business venture, right? So those things kind of open up, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. And speaking of open up, I think one of the other areas that is kind of an interesting conversation is sort of the borderless workplaces for business. Mm-hmm. So this, I can take this in two ways. I mean, there's the flat out way of like, firms are looking for new and different ways to build the space that's this unique.
Right.
And we've gotten to the part now where, especially among tech companies, where you can have the argument whether you're for or against the open collaborative space.
Right.
I tend to be for having availability of it.
Right.
But it actually turns out that it is a little annoying to do my job and have to like duck into a room every 2 minutes and be working next to people who are not really doing what I'm doing.
Right.
And it's just not functional.
Right.
And then there's also like, oh, we threw these cozy chairs out and people are going to dig it. And it's like, you know, like, so where do you guys see the different opportunities to build a space uniquely? Where do you see both from a form factor standpoint and also from like a just purely interesting differential?
So I think for us in particular in Unispace, the biggest thing that is important for us is that we've spent a lot of time to develop this business model where it's, I'm part of the workplace strategy group.
Yep.
What I tell people in the nuts and bolts in the elevators, what I do is I talk to companies about their business and organizational goals, and then I assess their physical office environment to see how close the office environment is meeting those goals. And then we take them through this whole experience and strategy journey to help them get to the right answer for their future space, right? But we have design and we also have construction. But a big piece about what's made us work really, really great is we have all those talented people in-house. But we've also invested a lot of time and energy into technology to do two things: to help to simulate everything about what this future environment is going to be like, so you almost get to test drive it and see it virtually.
Yeah.
And you know, with the way technology is, you can render almost anything to where it's almost like photorealistic, right? And it does two things. Obviously, it looks great. Looks really good. It gets design decisions made, which is really good. But moreover, it's kind of like a dry rehearsal of being in the space without ever putting like a stud down, right?
Yeah.
So like you can get people to sort of walk through experientially and go through that. So in that borderless concept idea, we use those simulations to talk about different spaces in the workplace to say, this is the setup here. It feels slightly like a cafe with some subtle music. The music is subtle for a reason because we want people to be able to sort of go away from their desk and be in sort of a nicer space with some really great natural light, but also be able to focus and do routine things. We should probably think about the behaviors and protocols to be vastly different here than, say, out in the main work area.
Yeah.
If you want to have a main work area, right? So that gives us the opportunity to kind of run those effective simulations. And what's great about that is that the client gets a clear understanding of what they're getting. They see what it could ultimately look like when it gets built. It gives our people the ability to build it properly and explain to subcontractors in terms of how it should all look like. So it's a win-win in a lot of ways for a whole host of things, right? So it's really taking that technology piece. Moreover, showing great design is always important, but if you can help a client make a better decision around the choice they're making, that's just as important, right?
So I want to add to this one other piece, and this is where we're going to do cheat code a little bit, because I want to ask selfish questions.
Yeah.
Leading one is, when you look at the different types of offices, and they're different for different reasons. Law firms are this way and that way. And I always, I've actually always kind of wanted, I'll mention this on the front of the show also, but like the need for a space to be not just functional, but fun can also sort of, what's the right word here? It's like a school. You build the school a certain way, like a prison sometimes. You build the prison a certain way to keep people in it. Right. And back in the day when there weren't a lot of options and there was no work remote, there was no, you know, the talent, with the exception of like a very small percentage, the talent could not dictate the terms. You're here, I pay you. You're not here, I don't pay you. I don't pay you, you're not here. Like, that's it.
Right.
Now, we're like, this is where my brain goes. I think of restaurants. I think of the design of malls and restaurants and stores. Mm-hmm. Apple's a great example. We want to design the store, the restaurant, so you don't want to leave.
Right.
Why we would have never designed our workplaces so that the people wouldn't want to leave, or, you know, they're going to leave, but like, I don't know. I've been in some nice offices where I really didn't need to leave.
Right.
And I think it's funny that like now with the hiring market and the talent having a little bit more control, kind of reminds me of like the NBA, all the players have a lot more power now.
Yeah.
So the league has to kind of change some of its rules that it used to have.
Right.
And now I feel like the employees actually have more power as a whole than the employer.
Right.
And so I wonder, when you look at, and you don't have to name names, but when you look at prior companies and clients and you know, Post and those who are not clients, and you know, give me a rundown for the people listening, what you take away from certain types of designs. So like if you walk into a kind of a frigid office, I kind of gave it away by saying that, but if you walk into you know, an office that looks that way,
right,
you know, I say to you, the office look, or you tell me an office looks like this, what do you feel like people are going to take away from that?
Yeah, it's you know, it's interesting because we work with all, like, the it varies, you know, from in terms of the personality types of clients constantly, right? So you get a lot of clients where if you go into their space and you go in there and it feels really dated, it feels like something you would see like in a
like our old studio. Tribune was cool because of location, but if you've been in Tribune Tower before, it was like, I would tell you in the middle of the show that the rat that you just saw run by is actually one of our mascots. It's okay.
I was gonna akin it to be like, if I walk into a space and I feel like I'm on the set of an old 80s workplace comedy, like I've got a sense of what, to a degree, like there's something happening here for a specific reason, right?
It's one of those things where like if you can stand it as an employee, it says a lot about you.
Right, right. And you know, and like the reasons around that vary constantly, right? Like it could be a long standing company that's had a lot of great just had a lot, not luck is not the right word, but has done a great job for themselves to really kind of keep their business going, but has been very either, I don't want to typecast and say that those people are moderate or conservative, but there are reasons around that, right?
They tend to be reactive and save the day rather than proactive and like, we're not going to have this day happen again.
Right. Right, exactly. And what I find sometimes is the greatest companies that do that, that look that kind of very conventional, have a very conventional space, but they sometimes have the underpinnings of an amazing culture, right? Like you give anything that you would want never to have that culture in your office, right? And there's a reason behind that. And some of that is really kind of uncovering the reasons and like interjecting a lot of those kinds of things, right? Because what there might be is there might be this notion or this idea that the things have been going great. What can we eke out of them to understand like what's the next sort of like risk that they want to take so they can like,
they don't want to risk ahead of the curve, changing what's there also.
Right. Right. And maybe you don't have to do it so dramatically, but you could pilot a space for them. Right.
Yeah.
Like if they are company X and they've been trying to go pitch to company Y for years and years, and it's been, you guys are really cool, but we don't feel like there's a fit for whatever the reason might be, how can you sort of take that experience and say, well, let's try to find a way spatially with the information you've given us about your interactions with company Y to make that happen. Let's try it at a small scale and try it, right?
Yep.
Because what's the hurt in that? You devote, what, maybe a quarter of a floor or an eighth of a floor or a specific notion. We have conversations like that all the time with like longstanding companies have been around who want to create a different selling experience as opposed to just a conventional conference room where you throw a slide deck up and you just walk through it. Like you get, it's almost like taking that experience that you do, right? So that's one of the other things too. What I see other companies that that really want to go in an innovative fashion, and the space looks very innovative and interesting, is that they've really come to the greatest companies to do it the best are the ones that really come to terms and understanding that their people work in numerous and various ways, right? And how can you sort of understand and figure out the couple of persona types in terms of how people work, like that example that I gave about the person working from 3 to 10 versus a person working from 9 to 5. Like, that's just a rudimentary example, but we can go into good detail to understand those kinds of things, to find out when those overlaps and when those people will be there, or when that person will be online on Slack or on email in order to communicate. That's something that we spend a lot of time working with clients. Our team here in the U.S. is also, my team in particular, is a very distributed team, but we've really honed in onto the work patterns and to the habits of our team and of our teams themselves to understand when are those right times in order to connect and to talk to one another. So it's really kind of understanding, like, what are the traits of high-performing teams, and then how do you take those traits and then put them into the workplace in order to make that work well for them.
I think it's a very underrated component of this is its functionality is not just a buzzword in the sense it's yet another way to optimize your efficiency,
right?
Like creating a flow of the office. And this is something, I mean, this goes way back. This isn't, I mean, it does involve you guys, but it's like even picking the space available, like the available space, like just because the deal is great per square foot doesn't really work if your company works one way, but the square footage is laid out the wrong way.
Right. And then in addition to that, like the converse argument to that is that if the deal per square foot is higher than the one that's really great, and it's afforded with either amazing views or great amenities inside the building or great amenities in the neighborhood, it's again thinking about that as opposed to thinking about your space as like a bottom line number.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a choice I'm making today in terms of there's a financial choice to this, but for some companies it's a 5-year lease, 10-year lease, you know, in some markets it's even a 15-year lease, just based on like the market and on how all that works. But there's strategies around that just in really kind of understanding and really honing in on how people are really working today. I mean, so much, again, we're finding people really deriving and coming up with schedules in terms of when they come in that you can think about the strategy in taking a space that's like that and maybe only having to do a build out when there's like a huge like uptick in growth in the company, right? As opposed to, well, I've got 4 people coming into finance this week, I need to take more space, right? In terms of how that works.
Makes perfect sense. Okay, so if I were to go back, now I didn't have the choice. I wasn't the one in charge of picking the space. If you could give me and everyone listening, if you have three, but let's say 2 sage pieces of advice that you need to consider before you go into like, we're going to move, this is what we need to think about. What are the first 2 things that you would be like before you even do anything?
Okay.
1 and 2.
So I feel like for you and for everybody that's listening to this, they're going to have a good grasp around the finances. So I think that's, everyone knows that piece pretty well. I would say that the one piece of advice you do is you find those people in your organization who have really their pulse on whatever it might be, the people, the culture, the organization, the aspirational thoughts, some of the functionality and logistics, like how well does the connectivity and the Wi-Fi work now and how do all those things happen. You get those people in a room or you get a quorum and you come up with a quick list of what are the things that are important for you to think about in terms of site selection and site checking. You just come up with a quick list.
Yep.
And our company actually does a really good job of helping folks like you come up with that list. And then you use that list because, you know, finances and square footage are there's obviously brokers and other folks who do a really great job of that. We can look at all those things qualitatively and you get to basically use that as an evaluation metric to see what's the right kind of space to take.
Perfect.
Right? So that's the one thing that kind of translates into a second thing, but it makes it a much more deeper conversation because if you ever have to tell your people where they're going, you can tell that then there's been obviously analytical and good thinking around it, but there's been like thought and care around why we're making this move.
Yep. Right? Makes sense. And then if you had to throw a freebie in on the design side, so now we got the space, I'm calling you into space.
Yeah.
What is the number one thing that you would say they need to think about before they talk to someone like you?
Number one thing to think about is really have at the ready your business goals and your organizational goals down pat, right? And it's okay to read a sort of a report that has all those things, which are great in terms of what, like who we are and what we're about. But really come to the table of those key principles or those key guiding principles for the organization, for all those things in terms of what works really well, Have those at the ready. And if all of you don't agree, that's okay. If you go, if you all agree, then that's okay too, yeah. Right? But really come to the table with that. And we can also help to eke that out, just so we can understand, like, what are we really driving at? Is it really attraction or retention of talent? Is it, do we want to set up the business in a way that it grows in some manner and it gets noticed for in a multitude of ways so we can grow more? Is it really make sure that we are seen as like a steward of the community? I live in Maryland, and one of the biggest things that Under Armour did for the community of Baltimore was say, hey, we're Maryland made, and we're staying here, and this is the reason why we're doing those things. Not to call out Under Armour, but that's
important. Throw some
money
at University of Maryland. No, yeah. Just got to get some titles.
So for people in Baltimore, that was important for them.
Yep.
And it became almost like a inherent recruiting tool, because that was really authentic to the area.
Yeah, right? For sure. So, thank you so much, Matt, for coming in and talking about this. Yeah. Where do people go to get in contact and work with you guys?
So go to our website, www.unispace.com. We have 40 studios across the globe. We have a studio here in Chicago. I'm grateful that I could be here to sub in for some colleagues who couldn't make it. They're really... they're chugging away in terms of getting ready for a pitch. So our team here in Chicago is super talented and super awesome. The website's the best place to go. All venues of social media, LinkedIn is big. We're really big on that. Come to us and inquire about us, and we'll come back and we'll reach out to you.
Thank you, Matt, so much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
If you've got any questions for me or for Matt, you can just DM me on Twitter or Instagram at Katoon or at Technori. You want to apply to pitch on the Startup Showcase live on WGN Radio on Saturdays from noon to 1, go to technori.com. Boom, that's a wrap.